cliffcentral.com. Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg. This is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me again. Are you smiling, Lionel?
No, I'm not. I can't smile about this next topic.
Okay, Lionel Makokotlela,
yes.
Who's growling. It is an emotive topic. It
very,
certainly is.
Very.
Yeah,
very.
It's been all over the news that Desmond Tutu, the Arch, has said that a dignified death is our right, and that for those coming to the end of their lives and suffering unbearably, they should know that they will be treated with compassion and that an assisted death is open to them. That's what this way feels. Yeah.
Kudos to him, because we need to actually have this kind of conversation, as difficult as it may be, but it's very important that we actually start talking about it, because people need to really decide what they want to do.
Yeah, I think the question to be asked, Lines, is it your basic human right to die with dignity, or does that give the doctors the right and the power to decide when they can end your life? So, you know, it's a very delicate balancing act. We're going to talk about that in a little more detail.
But again, it's a good question. It's a catch 22 question, because for me, I think then I need to decide what is that I want to do. If I feel that the life support is not for me, why can I not have that option to say?
Well, a lot
I don't
of people
want to.
Have a, you know, the answer to that, Lines, is that you were created by God, if that's your belief, and that God has the right to decide when your life ends or not, and you cannot take that into your own hands, because
by being an accident, therefore, why don't they just let me die then? Because if then that's God's way of actually making sure that I get out of this transition, let it be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that you should be given the right to avoid going through that pain and suffering at the end of your life.
Oh, certainly.
Or at any point in your life, and that you should be able to die with dignity. That's what it's all about. And not be held together by machines and go through all that pain.
I'm in support of that, because for me, it's just all about deciding what is best for you.
The legal implications of all this are very tricky. And in studio with us today, attorney Ashley Gittens, Gittens, of Gittens, Youngman and Associates in Benoni. Ashley runs the Benoni office.
Yeah. We've got one in Mayersdale as well. And then just a correction on the surname, Gary, it's Gittens.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ash.
I heard.
Okay, good. After all that time,
I
made a mistake.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, our Twitter handle?
It's at law.
Hertzlaw.
Hertzlaw, sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Lionel's not concentrating. Hertzlaw, and our Facebook page, The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg.
Please like the page, and please bring any comments that you would like us to really feature on the show.
Yeah, I think what's raised this issue was I got the paper, the Sunday Times, on Sunday, which is when you do get the Sunday Times. And front page, massive headlines. Tutu's final struggle is the headline. I don't know how accurate that is. It says there that the Arch backs worldwide campaign for the right to choose when to die. And it goes on to say that he's quoted as saying, "Today I am myself even closer to the departures hall than the arrivals hall." That's what he says. And my thoughts turn to how I would like to be treated when the time comes. I hope I'm treated with compassion and I'm allowed to pass on in the manner of my choice.
Wow, those are powerful words.
From the Arch himself, he has always supported the right to die with dignity. And funnily enough, Ash, I'm sorry, but we'll talk about the living wills and that. There was a man called Sean Davison in Cape Town.
Oh, yes. I remember the professor who actually assisted his mother.
He assisted his mother in dying,
In Australia, I think, if my memory serves me well.
It was New Zealand.
New Zealand.
So I have interviewed him before. He's a very articulate and eloquent speaker. He's very knowledgeable. His mother was in agony, and he assisted her. And he got a sentence in New Zealand. He had to sit in prison. But the Arch at the time supported him and wrote a letter to the Prime Minister saying, please, we support this. Please, he didn't do it for any motive other than to take his mother out of the pan. And as a result of his representations, he got, I believe, a lesser sentence.
Wow.
Because the Arch was so powerful in this one. Hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, the question then to be asked is, it's all very well, you want to die with dignity, but at that time of your life, are you in a position to express your desire? You may be lying in the intensive care unit with pipes up your throat. The machines are down your throat, keeping you alive. You know?
Yeah. No, it's a very... the picture that I just have in my mind, it's just very important for us to actually have wheels whilst we are still functional and make it a point that we put all the details that we wish to actually happen to us if we find ourselves in those positions that you've just painted.
Well, that's where we want to talk to Ashley about. There's a thing called a living will. Now, that must be distinguished from your last will and testament, Ash. Am I right?
You're correct in saying that.
Okay. Yeah. So very briefly, your last will and testament dictates how your assets must
evolve.
The
financial consequence of death.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
What's the living will then?
The living will is a declaration concerning one's wishes against the administration of life, prolonging treatments administered where there is no prospect of regaining quality of life, and in a situation where such a person has been rendered incapable of expressing such wishes.
Okay, so Ash, I'll let you go on, but I do have a living will in front of me, and it says the following, let's just call it out. It says, this is the living will of whoever it is, addressed to my family, physicians, attending doctors, etc. It says, I'm in sound mind and capable of making this living will. If the time comes when I can no longer take part in decisions for my own future, let this stand as my directive. And then the person goes into some detail of how they want to be treated. Have you got a copy or should I just carry on?
You can carry on, I don't know.
Okay, so they say, if there's no reasonable prospect of my recovery, then and I'm expected to suffer severe distress, or if I'm rendered incapable of rational existence, if I'm terminally ill, I request that I lawfully be provided with assistance to end my life. That's what the person is directing. I do not give my consent to be kept alive by artificial means, nor do I give my consent to tube feeding. I don't want your drugs. I don't want intravenous fluids. I don't want any of that nonsense. All I'm asking for is that I be let to go in peace. Yeah.
And do family members have a say in this, or it's just me saying it to them?
No, well, you can leave it like this, or you can put in that my son, Lionel Makokotlelo, whoever it may be, must be consulted by doctors on every issue concerning me. The issue then is, Lions, this is your directive, and you're saying, I want to demand die with dignity, and I don't want the treatment anymore. I'm out. I'm done. If that should happen to me. The question to Ashley, is that legal?
Gary, I think the key issue here is the decisional capacity. Whilst one possesses that decisional capacity, they may refuse life-sustaining medical treatment. Mm-hmm. I have an example here. I've got a family member, or I had a family member, who was suffering from cancer until sometime last year. He ended up in a hospice himself, obviously with the blessings of the family, and that we thought that was the right way to go. Obviously, in that instance, he possessed the requisite decisional capacity. But in terms of the common law, where that decisional capacity falls away, the enduring power of attorney in terms of that living will becomes invalid when the patient becomes mentally incompetent.
Yeah.
So for you to give that power of attorney on to your loved ones or the medical professionals, it would be deemed incompetent in terms of the common law.
Ash, there's a very interesting case that I know you know about. It was held in May last year in the High Court in Pretoria. It was an urgent application. Very briefly, the facts are that there was a senior advocate by the name of...
Robert Strantham Ford.
That's the one, Robert Strantham Ford. He brought an urgent application to the court, and he asked that the court allow him to request a doctor to end his life.
Correct. And in that instance, Gary, it was found that he possessed that decisional capacity.
Yeah.
So obviously that burden was not placed on family members or the medical professionals. So but they did order that they assist in his suicide.
Yeah, so the court declared that he may freely and voluntarily and without undue influence be assisted in the act of suicide. And these are the words that he's entitled to be assisted by a qualified medical doctor to end his life. And that no medical doctor is obliged to do so, but if he finds one, good luck to him. And that the medical doctor who accedes to the request would not be acting unlawfully and cannot be prosecuted. So the court allowed him to end his life with the help of a doctor or on his own.
Correct.
And that was the court order. The tragedy of all this was that on the day the judgment was handed down, which was the 4th of May, was the day he died.
Yeah, 2 hours prior to the decision being made.
So you can see, I mean, this was just one single judge who feels maybe the way Lionel feels or I feel or you feel that no one should suffer. But this very issue needs to go before our constitutional court.
Then of interest in this particular case, the judge did grant leave to appeal in that matter on the basis that the common law ought to be developed, which is something which we wouldn't see too often. It's usually that another court would come to a different decision.
Yeah.
But in this case, he acknowledged that the common law on this specific topic ought to be developed.
There's, in the UK, they came with an act, it's called, not an act, a law that they wanted to introduce. It was called the UK Bill that would allow doctors to prescribe lethal drugs to terminally ill people to enable them to end their lives. It was called the UK Assisted Dying Bill, and everyone believed that this bill would be passed. And we also came out in South Africa, I think Sean Davison was involved in trying to get a similar bill on the basis that UK is going to pass it, so ours should go through on the same basis. And unfortunately, in my view, it was overwhelmingly rejected by MPs in Parliament. After a passionate debate, 330 voted against and 118 for. It shows that people, although obviously no one wants to die in pain, and everyone would like to end their lives in those circumstances, but I don't think ultimately people want to leave it to the doctors to decide, really. And if you have no living will,
Sorry, Gary, I just want to find out, from a legal point of view, does this will then stand, let's say, in terms of your life policy claims? Can you still claim, like your beneficiaries still claim for your life policy after you have declared that
that's
you want?
That's an unbelievably good question. Yeah. Most insurance policies, life policies, provide if you commit suicide, they don't pay. The insurance companies, if it's taken out within a certain period, if you commit suicide within a certain period after it's taken out. In other words, they're trying to prevent people taking out a policy, killing themselves and leaving money for their dependents.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a darn good question. The issue here is, well, as Ashley explained, the living will is not something that is law. It's just a directive. So let's take it practically. I mean, you could whisper in your doctor. Your doctor comes to you, somebody very dear to you, probably your parent is lying in intensive care. The doctor says, listen, she's being held together by machines. And you say, doc, I have a directive from my mom. She said, please, no medication, let her go. He'll look at me probably and he'll say, well, you know, Gary, I can't. You know, I have to do the best I got to do. But if he asked me, can I give her morphine or whatever it may be, I would probably say, whatever, let my mom go, please. And I don't know how he would deal with it. Depends on my relationship. The doctors are going to be very careful. Wow. Am I right, Ash?
Yes, Gary, I was going to say, particularly the doctors, they need to watch for personal liability here on this issue. Obviously, you know, there may be one family member that's pro the euthanasia, but others may be conflicting and against that decision. The doctors are aware of the risk, and they often would choose to err on the side of caution by rather administering futile medical treatment than assisting in a euthanasia.
Yeah, the doctors tread a very thin line. They're not going to put their entire practice online because you're coming with a directive saying, please let me die in peace or with dignity. The doctor's got to do what he's got to do. There is a National Health Act. I remember researching this about 2 years ago, and Section 7 says that no patient is to be provided with any medical treatment without the patient's informed consent. That's so I guess, you know, you can pull that one and say to the doctor, sorry, I don't want the treatment. Section 7, National Health Act.
See, the issue there, though, Gary, is that once you're rendered incapable and you lose that decisional capacity, then you couldn't give such consent.
Yeah. I spoke to a professor at university, I think it was UNISA, and I'm just, I have a note somewhere here of what she told me. It was Professor Louise Jordan from Department of Criminal Law at UNISA, and I spoke to her a year or so ago. I asked her, is there a difference between passive and active assisted dying? In other words, passive assistance is where you withdraw the treatment. That's passive. You say no more treatment, and she said that, I hesitate because it was a bit out of context, but she said that the big distinction is that when passive is when you just withdraw the treatment, active is when you give something to make the person die.
You administer the medication.
Yeah. The person who's actively doing something will be guilty of murder. The person who passively just withdraws and says, you know, no more medication, I don't know. She said that it's not an unlawful act.
Well, that would be the aim of many of the hospices that are out there.
Absolutely. She said that the act of assisted dying, when you give somebody a lethal dose of medicine, and even if they're charged with murder, she feels that this can be challenged in the Constitutional Court. And I'll tell you why. And it's very interesting that she says that we have the right to dignity in terms of our Constitution. Everyone has the right to dignity. If you are not allowing me to die with dignity, then you're infringing my constitutional rights. This would probably be the argument in the Constitutional Court. And also, also under the Constitution, we have the right to quality of life.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. Both of those, we could say, hold on a second. This is going to be an argument one day. I think Desmond Tutu will, if ever, God forbid, he's lying in pain, something's going to happen here there where the Constitutional Court will be brought in on this one.
Some of the criticism of the Strancham Ford case is that there is currently no legislative framework regulating assisted suicide or euthanasia. Obviously, with that, it's open to abuse.
Yeah. Ash, this is Ashley Gittins with an I-N-S at the end. Ashley's an attorney in Benoni, and his firm also has a practice in Maysdale. You were on the Law Society's list of doing free wills a week or two ago. So anyone in Benoni area could come to you and you...
Benoni and Maysdale.
Yeah, did it work? Did people come along or what did they do?
Gary, to be honest with you, it wasn't marketed correctly, and we received posters about a week prior to the actual week, Wills Week. So we weren't able to put those up in time, and we did create a bit of awareness on forms of social media. It did spark a bit of interest, and we drew about five or six wills with about...
It's a pity.
The
idea behind it is very good. People should have come to you in their droves to have their wills done for free.
Well, we welcome it next year.
Yeah. The Law Society, I think we must get together with them and give them ideas on how we can market this a little better.
Definitely.
Ash, there's someone on the line that I'd like to talk to. His name is Paul Kruger. Paul?
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Welcome to you, Paul. You run the South African Registry of Wills and Testaments.
That is correct, Gary.
Tell us about it. Yeah. You've got five minutes to tell us. Yeah.
5 minutes. Very good. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, and as we discussed previously, it's an online service. It's available. Basically, it's a national will register. What we do, and firstly, the problem would be a lot of people have wills and these things go missing for whatever reason. Perhaps it was drafted a long time ago. Perhaps the service provider that you left the will with, an attorney's firm perhaps, may have closed down or whatever the case may be. So wills go missing. And a lot of people we find do not really discuss these things either with their children or their loved ones or people even that they leave behind. And that to a large extent, it can cause a problem when they die, when they come to you, sit across the table and you ask, is there a will? What's happening? And it's quite a difficult process for anyone to go through losing a loved one. So these guys a lot of times are grief-stricken. They're not really prepared. They don't know what's happening. So basically what we do and what we have, it's an online system, as I said. It's free of charge. We should just mention it. It's a community-based service. You go on there. You physically log on. No, not really even log on. You register your details. So what the details would be, you would identify yourself as the testator. There's a couple of sections in terms whereof you can put your executor's details. Contact telephone number, that type of thing. The next section would obviously be a lot of, not a lot, but details of the will, the date when it was executed, and where it's kept. That's very important, so it can be found. And
sorry, Paul, you don't actually keep the will. You just keep the details.
No, not at all. No,
so I can't find out whether I've been left money by my uncle or whatever. It's not recorded by you.
No.
All you record there is you are saying that if Ashley Gittins has made his own will, the will is located geographically at wherever, and you give out that information. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. It's also an online search function. It's not a browsing facility, so you would at least need Ashley's surname and his ID number to get access to that information.
Yeah. Right now, Ash, no wills are registered. So a guy walks into your office, he makes his will, he leaves a copy with you, he walks out with the original, it gets lost, he moves to Cape Town or wherever, and no one knows he's got a will and no one knows that you exist. So this is... In essence, this is the South African Registry of Wills and Testaments is a good service.
No, it is. It definitely is, Gary. I agree with you.
I think that the lawyers should be made aware of this. We have a large listenership of lawyers to our show. I think, have you targeted the lawyers? They should all be registering this stuff. I think what should happen is as soon as the will is signed, the lawyer ought to, and maybe there should be some kind of unofficial directive from the Law Society saying, can you register it with these people?
And perhaps participate next year in that Wills Week.
Yeah, participate in the Wills Week and get involved with the Law Society. I think this could be a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and obviously we find that the better person or the better people to get involved would be the professionals, because they do know what the challenges are and what is faced in the practice. Yeah. And just if I may, and very briefly, you guys, preceding... a discussion, you touched on living wills. We also have a small section in that registration form where you can actually say, yes, I do have a living will, and you can provide details of perhaps a family member who actually has access to that living will.
Excellent. Excellent, Paul. Yeah. So the living will gets strictly, Ash, should be attached to your last will,
right,
and they should be together. And there should also be, I always suggest this to clients, please make a list of where all your files are containing the insurance policies and et cetera, so that your next of kin can find it when you pass away. Paul Kruger, nice name, good idea, South African Registry of Wills and Testaments, well done to you, and thanks for this call.
No, thank you very much.
Cheers, Paul.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah. Ashley Gittins, Ash, you've set up recently in Benoni.
Correct.
Not easy for a lawyer to set out. We can have big billboards and we can go.
It costs lots of money.
Yeah, but we can't go door to door. You can't knock on your neighbor's door and say, hi, I've just opened practice. Will you support me? You're not allowed to do that.
But you can't
put a billboard up as you see all over the place.
One of the reasons we are out in Benoni and Mayersdal is that there are too many of these attorneys out in Rosebank, Sandton areas. So, you know, obviously we see a bit of scope for ourselves out in the eastern and southern suburbs.
Yeah. Ash, you also were very generous, I think. Am I right? Your firm gave a big donation.
Yeah. Yes, it was more my partner's doing. I'm not going to take credit for that.
Oh, well, you can mention that there's a little boy who's...
Yeah, Ashley Youngman is the brainchild of that. He invested the 30,000 rand towards little Caelan.
Yeah, well, that's very generous of him.
His name is Callum.
Fantastic. Did they raise the money for him?
They did. I think in the space of 90 minutes, they raised $1.5 million. Yeah. There was a significant donation.
We have a very generous...
But Vest donated 500,000, which was quite a bit substantial.
Terrific.
Mm. Yep. He's on his way to Boston now.
Really?
Well, I don't know if he's on his way yet, but he's that's going. Where he's headed. Yes.
Anything before we let you go, Ash?
I encourage the drawing and execution of those living wills, Gary. Reason being, it shifts that burden from the medical professionals and the family members onto the suffering person,
yeah.
who at the end of the day ought to make that decision as to whether they are to continue suffering or to put an end to that.
I don't like talking too personally, but I have an elderly mom, and she has signed a living will along the lines that I mentioned. And she feels very strongly about dying, and she's going to listen to this. She wants to die with dignity. I hope she lives for many, many years.
I suppose very controversial topic.
Yeah.
If you ask some of her family members, they could tell you otherwise.
Yeah, the churches and religions are very anti this, very, very against this. It must take its course.
I suppose you'd need to be in the situation of the suffering to make a call and give your opinion.
And yet we all witness it, Ash. We've all seen it.
Mm.
We've seen it, unfortunate, we've seen loved ones dying. We see our pets dying. It breaks your heart. I mean, a pet is as close to anything, but yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the show. It's been fascinating and emotive. Lance, thanks very much for this.
Pleasure. Until next week, Tuesday.
Yeah, thank you to Ashley Gittins.
Yeah, thank
and
you,
to Gary you, listener, thanks for listening.
Okay, cheers.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.